So this is our fourth message under this heading of Angels in Reno. The theme that we've been working with is that there are angels in Reno and that they are us. That we are those that have been entrusted with a message from God, which is really the essential identity of an angel, and are called to share it out. We've been affirming that together, and the way we've been kind of investigating this through our looking into the Bible is by looking at the story of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, and watching how it proceeds through the pages of the Bible and eventually to us. We also are working backwards. So we started with what I call the last evangelists, which are us. The good news of Jesus Christ, come for us to save, has come to us. And we're the last evangelists in that process of the good news of God, and perhaps the last evangelist necessary as someone is told about Jesus, considers him, and comes to know him as Lord and Savior. The last one needed might be you and me in that line that moves through history down to a person who needs to hear it, who hears and responds and moves from death to life through faith in Jesus Christ. So we affirmed that we very well may be the last evangelists. And then we talked about what I called the third evangelists, which were the shepherds. We looked at their story, hearing and then sharing the good news that they heard. The second evangelists we looked at last week, and those were the angels, those that were sent to give this message to the shepherds, which eventually has made its way all the way down to us. So then, who is the first evangelist? That's what we're going to talk about today. Who was the first to proclaim the good news of great joy for all people? Well, I want to read a different Christmas text for us, and then a psalm, and then we're going to talk a little bit about those. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And then let me share with you the first half of Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us to hear your word for us today, and to rejoice as the shepherds did, and as many people have done through the ages, and as many people are doing today on this Christmas Eve. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your word to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what I want to say for us today about this first evangelist. The Christmas story is miraculous, right? I mean, the things that happen in the Christmas story, a virgin birth, angels appearing in the sky out of nowhere. I mean, there's a lot of kind of one-time only miraculous kind of stuff that is part of the Christmas story. But what I want us to understand today is that there is also what I would call Christmas consistency. That what we read about in the Christmas story, what the Christmas story is all about, is also consistent with a lot of other things that we hear about in Scripture and experience and see. There's that miracle star that's part of the Christmas story, a one-time special appearance guiding and marking the birth of Jesus, God the Son. That miracle star that led the wise men right to the baby Jesus. It seems that the natural world, in its broadest sense, was used to proclaim the good news of Christmas. Not just the angels, not just the shepherds, but the heavens themselves, the star in the sky, was used to proclaim the good news of Christmas. Joy to the world. Perhaps you've heard these words before. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. What was that last line? And heaven and nature sing. According to the psalmist, heaven and nature have been singing for quite a while. The psalm. The heavens declare something. Look at the stars tonight. And they should be very visible. And they will be declaring something to us, to the city of Reno, to the nation of America, and to planet Earth. They will be declaring something. The stars at night and the sun each day have something to say to us. Glory be to God who is here with us. The famous Christmas star was doing at a special time and in a special way what all the stars have always been doing and continue to do today, tonight, declaring the glory of God who is here with us. The amazing Christmas announcement of good news of great joy by the star, by the angels, repeated by the shepherds, and down through the ages eventually heard by us, was consistent with the message proclaimed by the first evangelist since the beginning of time. The message? Hear the good news. I have made you. I am here with you. You belong to me. And though you have turned away from me, I will not give up on you. I am love. I am life. I am at work for you. I will redeem you. I will bring you back to me. The first evangelist, the one and only living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Angels in Reno, we are privileged to share with God His good news of Christmas and of all time and all space. He is our salvation. He is our goal. In Him we find the fulfillment of our deepest longings. And He, who is all we need, has come, is coming, and will come for us. One of my favorite moments in all of Disney movies, and I've seen a lot, and I imagine some of you have seen a bunch of them too. One of my favorite moments really isn't part of the movie at all. It's from Aladdin. And it's at the end. And it's not the end when Jasmine, Princess Jasmine and Aladdin get together at the end. But it's after that. It's after the credits. It's actually the first time I ever remember movies. Now, a lot of them have caught on to this. Rewarding people for sitting through that long list of boring names that go on and on the credits. On and on. And you think, oh my gosh, how could something take that many people to put on? Name after name, all these different categories, all these different locations. And the first time I ever remember being rewarded for sitting through all the credits was watching the movie Aladdin. Because after the credits, the genie appears one last time. And the voice of Robin Williams booms out. Anyone remember? Made you look. I love that. It was one of the best taglines I've ever seen in a movie because that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what all those Imagineers working for Disney, hours and hours, lots and lots of the most talented people in the whole world, they worked so that I would look. And I did. How about this? I made you to look. This is the eternal message of God to all the people, which is reiterated in such a special way at Christmas. I made you to look at me. Look at me and find truth and love. Look at me and find life. Look at me and find yourself. And now I have come near to you. I have wrapped myself in human flesh. I have knit myself to your nature. I have come near to save you. Look! Look at me! Look and trust in me. Angels in Reno, this is what we are asking others to do. Hey, just take a look. Take a look at God. Take a look at the beautiful and world-changing reality of Christmas. Take a look at God, our Creator. Take a look at Jesus Christ and see what you find. Trust God and see what happens. This, fellow angels, is what God has been saying to the human family all along. So how do we respond well to God and His good news? Look. And I would suggest three essential aspects to this looking well. First, there's direction. Direction, which is related to this concept called repentance. We naturally turn away from God. His holiness is frightening until we begin to see His love and grace. We naturally turn toward other things, false gods of all kinds, to fill the gap in our souls left by the natural alienation from God that is part of the broken world that we inhabit and that we have inhabited since the fall of man, the fall from grace in the Garden of Eden. To look at God, we must turn toward Him, include Him in our thoughts and actions, talk with Him in prayer. Look at what He has revealed in His Word through His prophets and apostles, and especially in Jesus Christ the Lord. To look well involves direction, looking to God. That means repentance, turning away from what is wrong and turning toward God. And it also involves recognition. To look well, there's recognition. This is what we might call illumination, to have the light bulb go on. And to see what it is we're seeing. Have you ever been in one of those situations, it just happened to me this week, where you're staring at somebody as though you don't know them, and then all of a sudden, the light bulb goes on? It happened to me. I was looking right at Ken, Marty Lepofsky's husband. I was at Starbucks, and I'm looking right at this guy, and all of a sudden, he was in the wrong place. I didn't know Ken in Starbucks. I just knew Ken at his house for parties. Okay, I've only been to one party, but it was a good one. And I'm looking right at this guy, and there's something vaguely familiar about him, but I did not know him in my mind at that moment, and all of a sudden the light bulb went on. He said, "Hello, how are you?" And bam! Oh yeah, Ken! The light bulb had to go on, or I would have seen him as a stranger. Well, it's like that with us and God. The light bulb has to go on in a similar sort of way. And we need God's help in this. He has to flip the light on. We can be looking at God. We can be looking at the stars. We can be looking at a newborn baby. We can be looking at the wonders that God has created. We can be looking at evidence for God Himself everywhere and not know. And for Him to be a complete stranger to us until the light bulb goes on. And we need His help for that to happen. We can't make the light bulb go on ourselves. But God promises, if we're trying at all, he will do it. Jesus said, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it will be given to you. So direction, recognition, and then finally focus. It's easy for us to focus on, put our hopes on, pretend ultimate value in things other than God. But in the end, all of these things, good as many of them may be, will disappoint us. Things like health and prosperity, achievements, jobs, careers, relationships, husbands, wives, children, moms, dads, friends, recreational activities, these are all good things. But things that are not God cannot be God's for us. In part, this is what's behind the exercise of writing down the things you value most. The great things that are part of your life. They're great things. They're good. And we rightly give God thanks often for these things. But they cannot take God's place. We do well to submit even these things to God. To focus on Him at the center instead. Then these things can be properly and beneficial what they are meant to be, rather than pretending to be little gods for us that will be crushed by the unbearable weight of false divinity. No created thing, no mere blessing can stand the weight of having to be God for us. Focusing on God, we begin to see Him for who He is. And seeing God as He leads us, seeing God as He is leads us to the only right and proper response. Worship. Worship, not to perform a necessary duty. Worship, not to accumulate merit or favor or score points with God. Worship, because that is what we must do and because that is what we greatly desire to do. Worship, because that is our proper place in the eternal love relationship with our Creator and Redeemer for which we were made. And it is to this love and this eternal life that we are called by the first evangelist, who is the living God, who created the stars to declare His glory, and who spoke His good news to the angels, to the shepherds, and today to us. How do we respond? With an act of worship. Listen to and look at the Christmas story once again as we share it with you now. And then after the shepherd children have come forward and during the song, My Heart, God's Heart, as an act of worship, each of us is invited to bring our heart with our treasured blessings and lay them in the manger as we focus together on God, having turned toward Him and allowing Him to turn the light on for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be together in Your house on this most special of days. Lord, we thank You for the wonderful reunions, families gathered together, church families gathered together. Thank You. Thank You for this special time, and thank You that You are here with us. And that You remind us of Your presence again and again and again in so many ways. The stars above, the people here with us, Your Spirit here with us. Bless us now as we share together again in this special retelling of the Christmas story. And prepare us as we prepare room for You in our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name.